At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So, we have a bit of a running joke in the office. Almost every day, someone finds an article from the allegedly neutral BBC that is almost always absurd leftist propaganda. So it's gotten so bad recently that someone in the office, who is not myself, has set up a Twitter account dedicated to these stupid stories, and it's called The Peak BBC. And what I wanted to do was just explore some of the things that we found from the BBC, and of course then go on to say how the BBC is going to be changing in the future as of this January. Which is actually quite a nice thing after seeing all of the horrendous leftist stuff that they have been pushing. So for once, we're actually going to have a nice story with a nice ending, which I know it's rare. I know you might not like it, but we've got to do it every now and then. So first and foremost, the BBC loves to talk about inequality. So one thing that is worth bringing up is my article, which is on the website, a premium article read by Jonathan Crowe. If you don't like reading, you can listen to it.
That's only for silver tier members.
Yes. Why inequality exists, and I break down why sex and racial inequality exists with focus on Britain and also other European countries. And I explain the factors at play and the fact that it's not racism and sexism. And actually, the gaps are way smaller than you might expect, even if things were left completely naturally.
I think, for one, personally, I think inequality is, for the most part, as long as it's not caused by state interference, is a good thing, because inequality, natural inequality, shows a free society.
Yes. I mean, not everyone is born equal, and therefore you would expect that not everyone would have equal outcomes. This is common sense to most people, but apparently not the BBC. So, moving on to some of the things from the Peak BBC Twitter account. This is a BBC article called Climate Change, Albinism and Me. So,
what did they have? What?
As it points out, the BBC continues its quest to shoehorn climate change into the narratives of the most niche minority groups out there. I mean, if you're...
This is
living with albinism in Nigeria.
What does this have to do with climate? Did the climate suck all the melanin out of you? Is that what happened?
This is our state-funded, you know, we get a license fee forced upon us to pay for this to find out about albinism in Nigeria, because this is, of course, a pressing issue for everyday people who are struggling with the cost of living. They want their money to go on this. This is not, you know, having good infrastructure. They want to know about these Nigerian albinos that are struggling with climate change because they're going to get burnt skin on.
This affects their day-to-day life, yes.
I mean, this entire article does not need to exist. You could have spent that money on exporting sun cream to Nigeria and it would have done more good.
surely if it's going to be any section of the BBC that reports on this, it would be BBC Pigeon. Which is a real thing, by the way, and you should look it up if you've not heard of it.
Yes, it's surprising. I don't know what the language is meant to be, but it just
I think pidgin is like a variation of dialects. So.
It's sort of, is it African dialect? Something like
I
that.
I don't really know. It's funny.
Yes.
It's very funny, whatever it is.
So the next one is looking at Rwanda asylum seekers. What does the UK deal mean? And this is looking at of course, sending the boat people from that have come over from France to Rwanda to be processed so that they can't, you know, cause chaos in Britain. And it's picked out a quote here. that says, what the deal envisages is an end to the system of protection for those fleeing war and persecution. This is our non-biased reporting here. So, yes, these opportunists are now fleeing war and persecution in war-torn France. I mean, I
well,
can sympathise.
Well, they're not anymore. They're not anymore currently, because we've got the figures in, and since this has sort of gone through, the number of boats coming to England has been a big fat zero.
About time.
Yes.
I mean, these racist asylum seekers don't want to go to Rwanda.
I mean, what have you got against Rwandans?
Yeah, I mean, they've never done anything atrocious before, have they?
The BBC also seems to have a bit of a bone to pick with Rwanda as well. What's all that about?
Yeah, the BBC seems to not like Rwanda. Are they some kind of racist organisation? I mean,
it's like institutional.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, BBC, what's going on?
So the next one... this is one talking about the new cast of some Doctor Who universe podcast.
No, don't pronounce Doctor Who properly. It's not Doctor Who anymore. It's Doctor Hugh.
Doctor Hugh.
Doctor Hugh, yeah. That's who that is on screen. It's not Doctor Who, that's Doctor Hugh.
Well, considering the fact that the article says, a new Doctor Who podcast spin-off series is making the show more female and LGBTQ+ than ever, Doctor Who Redacted, written by a transgender woman with a transgender star, premieres on BBC Sounds this week. So it might be a Doctor Who.
Yeah, maybe.
Posing
yeah.
as a woman.
I mean, I love the contrast of that. We've made it more female-based by bringing in all of these men.
I know, it is silly, isn't it? So, another BBC article is talking about a film. I want my film to show that queer South Asians are thriving.
Okay.
Great. This is what the people of Britain want. This is what they want their money to go on. We want to know that the queer South Asians are thriving. Great. I also hate that word, thriving. Like, it sounds like you've reintroduced an animal into the wild. And you're like, yes, they're... The new species is now thriving.
Is it that it sounds a bit too close to writhing for you?
No, it's just really dehumanising. It's just like...
I suppose so, yeah. There's a detachment of the human element to
yeah,
it that I
talking
understand.
Of the BBC, I can imagine David Attenborough using it to describe like a new population of beavers reintroduced into Britain. The population's now thriving. There we go. Of course... it points out here, South Asian queers thrive in a civilised culture like Britain's as opposed to, Pakistan's. Who would have thought?
What a shock. Wait, so is this a BBC programme? Or
yes,
film
it is,
or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Who asked for this again?
I don't know.
Isn't it great when you separate market incentives from organisations like this? Because then they just produce random crap that nobody asked for.
You know what? I just want media about queer South Asians because that hasn't been explored enough.
It appeals so much to the average North FC bloke. Love me queers, love me Asians.
And as if it can't get any more explicit, why Drag Race is still important for LGBT representation? They haven't got the Q+ either, have they? So
this is transphobia.
I know. And... the Peak BBC account has picked out, I didn't know much, this is a quote from someone, I didn't know much about what it was like to be gay, says Blue, who started watching the show aged 11.
I don't think
serious
you should.
Serious groomer vibes, anyone? Yes, like watching
if an 11-year-old knew how it felt like to be gay, I'd be very, very worried.
Yes, and I mean, watching a show where a bunch of presumably gay men, it doesn't necessarily have to be, but dress up
vast majority,
as women, more or less, and women also dressed as nightmares. I mean, look at that thumbnail.
If that's
not nightmare fuel, I don't know what is.
The thing is, I really hate the reframing of the whole drag thing that's gone on in the past year or so, because I've got friends in Manchester who are drag queens, and they're gay men, and they know, and everybody should know, that as a form of entertainment, it's for adults. It's for adults to go and enjoy it. Why is it suddenly for kids?
I don't know.
When did we decide this?
It's really weird. Like, pushing sexualized content onto children is such a weird thing. And the fact that the BBC is just like, yes, this is fine. This is, in fact, something that we want in our article.
This is state-endorsed grooming.
I mean, it's not like the BBC to support.
Not for the first time. It's just a long line. There's a tradition at this point.
So yes, another thing is this article: Samsung's 2 a.m. running advert is not representative, not representing the truth for women. So it's just showing a woman running at 2 in the morning with, an advert that is advertising some kind of Samsung product. And the fact she's running at 2 a.m. is somehow problematic because it's not representative of the experience of being a woman. So they're trying to make out
and it
that,
just sounds like a silly advert. Why does this need to be a... What journalist wrote this article?
Yes, it's trying to make out that every man after the sun sets is out to kill women.
I mean, not true, but also, to be fair, if I was a woman, I probably wouldn't go running around the city at 2 a.m. I think that wouldn't be my first idea.
Unless you're confident at running really quickly, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So there's also some more silly stuff. teacher trying to add black joy into lessons. Black joy.
As opposed to white joy?
I know.
What's the difference?
White joy sounds like something that you would get in mid-century Germany.
Yeah, it does.
It's time for your allocated white joy time. Yes. And as the post points out, black joy is teaching immigrant children absolutely nothing about the country that has welcomed them other than white man bad. Which is, of course, true.
Yes.
So, and the final one that I'm going to go through from this account is this one, racial imposter syndrome, when you're made to feel like a fake. This is, of course, state-funded media talking about...
Of course, a picture of an Asian woman here. Mm-hmm. Who do you think it is that's trying to say that she's not Asian and is in fact probably white or cursed with whiteness? Do you reckon it's those evil white conservatives?
Yes, yeah. We're so racist, we're welcoming you into our racial group. We're so inclusive.
I know. Hey, man, so, Asian people tend to have better success. They tend to be very well educated, on average have higher IQ. You know, like, I've got no problem with Asian people, man. But apparently, the BBC wants there to be a problem.
It seems so. And as it points out, this ticks all three boxes. Whiteness, check. Radicalized pathologization. The BBC has fried my brain, apparently. Racialized pathologization of a total non-issue, a token reference to Native American culture to bolster the point. Tick. So yes, this is great stuff. And that's not all. Just to show quite how frequent this is, airing this evening, it is... a segment called Is Uni Racist? And this is, of course, Thursday, the time we're recording, and this is airing at 10 past 11 this evening. So they're asking whether university is racist. However, in my Why Inequality Exists article, I actually look at university admission in Britain, and I think white Britons are the group least likely by percentage of the population to go to university. And actually, I think... it's Asian people and black people that are the most likely to go to university as a percentage of the population.
Okay.
So I struggle to see how they can pin it on us, at least.
Well, I mean...
It's all those racist minorities at university.
I mean, by their own standards, which I think are stupid, ridiculous standards of the... It's the only thing that shows racism is the outcomes and not the intent. Well, you've got to admit, unis are racist.
Yeah, well, they discriminate actively against admitting white people and Asian people, I think, as well.
Because affirmative action is just positive racism.
Yes.
And it's never worked anywhere.
Positive racism is also a pretty abhorrent way of putting it.
It really is.
There's no racism is positive. But yes, moving on to another one. I can't be racist.
This sounds like a letter you'd write from prison. I can't have done it, Your Honor.
Social psychologist Dr. Keon West explores bias, unconscious and not, and the current trend in unconscious bias training, which me and Callum did a podcast on a very long time ago, talking about how the psychology behind it doesn't work.
Well, of course it doesn't.
And actually the government disavowed it as not working and being a waste of time and money and actually making people more racist.
So, congratulations, the task failed successfully.
If you want to raise racial consciousness, do some unconscious bias training, because everyone will become racist because it's so insufferable. So moving on, they've just been even less specific. Is Britain racist? So yeah,
apparently
all of Britain. Apparently, yes, our state-funded media just willing to publish this. But yes, of course, we're racist. That is, of course, true.
That's why we let in so many people from varying cultures and countries.
Yes. What about, is football racist? I mean, it's just the BBC having programmes on various things being racist.
I mean, if they asked Marcus Rashford, I'm sure he'd say yes.
Well, I mean...
While he's living it up in his massive multi-million mansion. Oh, it's so racist.
I mean, looking at the people who are the top football players, I feel like there are certain groups that are underrepresented, and that's all I'm willing to say.
Well, no, I mean, sport is the ultimate meritocracy, and the fact that certain people are more represented in sport than others is just going to show that these people are the best for it. It's got nothing to do with race.
I'm pretty sure when we played Italy in the World Cup, some Italians were pointing out the fact that not many of our players were actually British born, and it was kind of like cheating. It's like, yeah,
we've just nabbed a bunch of the best footballers from other countries. Like, have you?
Exactly. So, moving on. This is a tweet from Callum, and if we could have a look at the picture, just some of the racial videos we've got here. So these are all the videos talking about race. What is white privilege? Watch our special program on US protests and racism. Advice to help you if you're upset about racism. Kids tell us about their experience of racism in the UK. I mean, I could go on reading this stuff out for ages. Of course, there's something about Black History Month, George Floyd. White privilege means not having to worry about racism. Black celebrities on life growing up in the UK. The white privilege TikTok challenge. Racism in football. Someone's story. What's it like being young, black and British? I mean, it's really forced down your throat. And as Michael is highlighting...
Black History Month, Black Britons who paved the way.
And there's that Diane Abbott.
That's Diane Abbott right there.
She's really, really helping remove stigma and stereotypes about black
people. Yeah,
she
really is. To be fair, I think there was something, I don't know if GB News did it, where they were talking about, they did a documentary recently called Black and British, except they included people who would probably dissent from these kinds of opinions. Like there's a black woman, I think, from Manchester called Dominique Samuels, who appears on GB News quite often, who's very switched on. She knows her stuff. She's quite good. But would the BBC tell her story?
I doubt it.
Probably not. Probably not.
If you've got a sob story and you whinge about the country you've moved to, then the BBC's all ears. But if you're just like, yes, actually, I kind of like this country.
Yeah,
all of a sudden,
really nice.
The BBC is like this. They are not interested. So just moving on to how racist the BBC is. Well, ITV, the BBC, and QI and Discovery are discriminating against white applicants for trainee jobs in their job applications actively, and they specify this. This is from June 2021. So yes, despite being focused on race, they are racially discriminating themselves.
I myself have been on the other side of this immediately after uni. I would like to apply. Oh, sorry, we're not taking white applicants at this time. Oh, that feels great. Thanks.
Well, people complaining about Jim Crow, just like, yes, this is a white-only space. Now we've got the reverse. Another final one from Callum. No, it's not actually. It's from the BBC. Sorry, Callum. That's not very nice of me.
Don't call him the BBC. That's awful.
I disavow myself. The BBC saying, we've always been here to celebrate diversity, but we need to do more, and we will, as if you haven't already done enough.
That's right, we're firing all white English people from the company as of now.
This is our commitment to long-term change. Read more about our 100 million commitment here. And they go on to outline in an article, BBC commits 100 million of its content spend on diverse productions and talent. So here they are, actively admitting they're diverting public money to racially discriminate against basically ethnic Britons.
All right, here we go. Abolish the TV licence, then abolish the BBC, and then finally, just for good measure, abolish the government. That's my stance on all this. That's where I stand.
You moderate.
I know.
Yes, so the article outlines, the BBC is setting out the first new series of bold steps to transform its programming and better represent the public it serves. I didn't realise the public was so black, but apparently the BBC seems to think it is.
All the BBC is saying, they want to live up to their name, okay? They need more BBC in the BBC.
For goodness sake.
I had to.
So yes, we have some good news, and I thought I'd read the good news from The Guardian, whose whining tone will
add... said it through gritted teeth.
Yes. The BBC licence fee is to be abolished in 2027, and funding frozen. So... this happened in January this year, and I think it's just nice, having seen all of the stuff that the BBC has been putting out recently that is horrendously and insufferably leftist, that this is going to come to an end. So enjoy these posts while it lasts. They aren't going to last forever, because I imagine that when it's forced to stand on its own two feet, people aren't going to want to pay to be undermined by
the institution. Yes. It will have a pratfall.
Yes, the BBC will have to make deep cuts to its programme budgets after the government said the broadcaster's funding would be frozen for the next 2 years, with the licence fee abolished completely in 2027. Finally, the Culture Secretary Nadine Dorries is expected to confirm that the cost of an annual licence required to watch the live television and access iPlayer services will remain at £159, that will be a year, until 2024, before rising slightly for the following 3 years. She said this would be the end of the current licence fee funding model for the BBC, raising doubts about the long-term financial future and editorial independence of the public service broadcaster under a Conservative government. Excuse me.
You're right there.
There's a mouthful.
Yes.
But yes, this is what a Conservative government should be doing. They should be getting stuff out of the control of the state, as proper Conservatives should be, really. They shouldn't be expanding the state like leftists and allowing their own ideological enemies to have a mouthpiece funded by taxpayer money. So yes, moving on. Dory said, this licence fee announcement will be the last. The days of the elderly being threatened with prison sentences and bailiffs knocking on the doors are over. Time now to discuss and debate new ways of funding and supporting and selling great British content. The BBC will have to negotiate with the government over an entirely new funding model when the licence fee funding deal expires in 2027, with potential options including a subscription service, part privatisation, or direct government funding. Why not whole privatisation?
Yes.
And I, for one, look forward to the failure of the BBC, because let's be honest, the content they produce these days isn't going to compete in a free market, is it?
No, absolutely not. Especially when they're so determined to destroy classic institutions that they raised back in the 1960s, like Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but I think they seem pretty intent on destroying Britain itself. I mean, they're so intent on painting Britain as this evil, racist, sexist, homophobic. I mean, any phobia or ism that can exist, Britain is guilty of it, despite being probably one of the most laid-back, accepting countries in the world.
Yeah. For the most part, in England, people didn't really care about a lot of the stuff that they're bringing up until it started getting pushed in your face.
Well, yes, it's organisations like the BBC that make things like race an issue, because, surprise, surprise, rubbing things in people's faces, calling them racist and calling them evil and nasty and saying their culture is rubbish and evil makes them hate you. I mean, who'd have thought? And I think the death of the BBC will be healthy for our society, and I, for one, welcome it.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to check out all the content we have on the site, such as this book review from Hannah Gell of Douglas Murray's new book, The War on the West, How to Prevail in an Age of Unreason. And if you want to find out what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.